Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we are
Champion Chat 360.
360. Today it's Danica and I, and maybe the big guy, Andrew, if we can find him. We have a really great seat for him to sit in. Well, Danica does. So how are you, my love?
I'm doing okay. I didn't tell you this, but the flu went through our house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's been ridiculous. Matt got a little sick. Well, not a little. Who am I kidding? On Wednesday, and then Thursday it hit me. You know, the fun stuff. But besides that, this weekend we went to New Hampshire, and we got to see Grandma and Grandpa Johnson. And it's always good because I'm sure you realize this. No one really cares to see you anymore. They just want to see your kid.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of nice.
It was fun. How was your weekend? How's everything going?
Good. Let's see. My weekend. Oh, well, today I guess is going to be a big day. Mike is up already, which is early for him on a Sunday because it's when we're recording right now. He is watching the Columbine, NFL Columbine. So it's a big deal in our house. And it was funny because we went from, he calls it the Underwear Olympics. Because I don't know why. Like, I think because they're all in, like, those tapes. I don't know why he called it. I have to ask him. But then we were watching that, and then I was like, oh, the Arnold prejudging's on. So we went from football guys doing the best they can, like college kids trying to get into the draft, to these big meatheads and bikini girls. For most of you, you might remember that Mike is not in the fitness world. He used to play football. He played football in college, and he played a little bit of semi-pro football afterwards, but he is not a bodybuilder. But he is an amazing commentator for bodybuilding shows. And by amazing, I mean very snarky, but silly, and just silly. He's kind of, he makes me laugh in those. I wish I had got him on video, like recording what he was saying, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
More snarky about the girls and stuff. Not like, he wasn't snarky about the guys. He was probably pretty impressed. He's like, oh, that's pretty neat. Especially because who won was Cedric, as the big guy. Cedric is probably as tall as Andrew. He's 6'2". They don't tell you the weights, but they told us that Cedric was 280 pounds of just solid muscle. Not even like, not like, Mike is 6'4", 280. not solid muscle. It was mind-blowing to watch it, and Cedric is actually one of my favorite male bodybuilders. I don't really follow any of them, but he's very funny, so it was fun to watch, and I was like, babe, that could be you on stage, trying to, yay, Andrew's here, and I hope he sits in that little chair. Oh, Andrew, big guy in a little chair. Hi! and then we also got the missus in the background. Hey, Rach. So, Andrew, I was just talking about how, yes, I love that you're sitting in that seat, right?
It's actually fairly comfortable. Right? Not bad.
Good.
We were just doing a little opening here, and we were talking about how Mike was giving commentary of the Arnold last night. Well, yesterday afternoon during pre-judging.
What?
Mike, my husband.
Oh, you guys watched it?
Yeah.
What's his take on it?
Well, he was being kind of snarky and silly, like, about the girls. Like, probably exactly the way you would probably be about the girls.
But, yeah, maybe.
But
I thought, what's the girl's name that got third place? Red Suit.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember her name, but she's Latin, I think, right? She's from...
They missed her at prejudging, and she wasn't even in the first call-out.
Yeah, they...
And then
after.
At the second night show... They forgot about her again, but then they brought her back in for the confirmation round, and they realized, oh, shit, we made a big mistake. I thought she was going to win the whole thing.
Really?
And then I thought Angelica Teixeira would get second, and Courtney King get third.
Yeah, I liked Angelica. I told Danica that. I'm not a big Courtney fan. We haven't talked about that yet, but...
Yeah, she was a little bony for me.
That's what we were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just very skinny. So
yeah.
Danica met her.
Oh, when I met her in Nationals... She had the biggest butt I've ever seen, like the size of your butt. Like huge.
Matt, what happened to it?
Right. Matt was like, we should go to her and ask her what she does. Like, what do you do? Because it wasn't just like wide. It like went out. Like it protruded out. Like Matt was like, is that even real? And she was like, oh, I just play sports, da-da-da. And clearly something has happened that she I mean, what, she's been on for...
Only 3 years.
Three straight years?
I think so.
Yeah, she might just be, like, completely over-dieted, over-trained, and just, you know, not getting out of, you know, the photo shoots and the competitions and just that whole cycle of every 2 months doing something, and she never really gets to fill back out, you know?
And but, she's dating Steve Cook.
Who's that?
Steve Cook is...
Isn't he bodybuilding.com?
Yeah, bodybuilding.com, and I think he did... Physique. I think he might have competed in physique, but he did bodybuilding.com. He got noticed.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's nice to see you, Andrew.
Nice to see you, too.
How are you?
Good. Things are good.
What's new and exciting?
New and exciting. Well, last week we bought Rachel a car.
Oh, we bought mine a car last week, too.
What'd you get?
A Ford Fusion.
Ford Fusion, yep.
Awesome.
We got Rachel another Subaru Outback. Steve Nelson, who's one of our friend Brittany's, Brittany Hibbs's fiance, gave us a really good deal and set us up with, like, all the features and the, you know, Bluetooth this and leather seats. Even the back seats heated up. So you could, like, sit in the back and, like, take a nice nap or whatever. But let's see. Other new stuff. Well, contest season starts next week down in Brattleboro, Green Mountain Thaw, which is usually, like, the first show in the Northeast for most places, I think. And then... And then the season kind of starts from there. A few weeks after that, up here we got the Vermont show in Burlington. And then the week after that, we got the Jay Cutler Classic. A whole bunch of other shows. So, yeah, it's going to get busy pretty soon.
Yeah, and you forgot the one in Maine, the Pine Tree.
Pine State, right?
Pine Tree, you could always come to Maine. Both of you can always just come to Maine and just hang out, whatever.
Show season is you what?
I said you guys can just come to Maine and, like, you know, hang out, whatever.
I found that I would not go to Maine again.
What? And
do you want a short story?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's a little nutty, and, like, 2 or 3 years ago, she was like, do you want to go up to Maine with us, and we'll go, we'll see your brother. It's your brother's kid's birthday, and, you know, we're going to go out for, like, lobsters and stuff, and we're going to go to the ocean, and it's going to be really fun. And this is, like, in June. So... Right off the bat, we take off, and it's, like, pouring rain, and we drive up there. And when we get there, it's still rain, but it's, like, not only rain, it's, like, sleet and freezing cold. This is, like, June, which is, like, you know, pretty uncommon, but still it can happen in Maine. The lobster dinner didn't happen. It was, like, a shitty barbecue at our, like, relative's house, which they're not really – we're not necessarily great friends with them. Mm-hmm. And then – my mom set us up in, like, this, like, bungalow thing. So to talk about amenities, there were none, okay? Like, the whole time me and Rachel were looking at each other, like, looking at our watches, like, how long do we have to stay before it's rude, like, if we just leave now, you know? So we stuck it out for the night, but, like, literally, and Rachel doesn't get up before, like, 9 o'clock on the weekends. She got up at 6:30. She's like, I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Oh.
So we literally drove, 4.5 hours up there to, like, go to a shitty barbecue in the cold, in the rain, and then sleep in a shitty bungalow, and then get up and drive home, like, as early as we could. The funny thing was, the kicker was about a month later, my mom was like, hey, do you guys want to go to Maine again? And, like, I sent her a text message back. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me, right? She's like, what do you mean? And I detailed that story to her. I'm like, Mom, that was not a good time at all. Like, you promised me this, this, and this. She gave me something snarky back, like, it's not always about you or something like that. But
even though I live in Maine, and clearly the internet's working against us today, I have a roof, walls, and a bathroom. And actually a spare room. So, it wouldn't be like, maybe it could be like a bungalow. I could make that for you. So, what do we want to talk about today?
I would love to talk about, a few things, but the last time you were on was for Nate, I think.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about Nate. Yeah. Yep.
How do you think that over the past, year, or no, let's just talk about, the past 2 years. How do you think that your coaching has changed? How has it progressed? What do you see happening 2 years from now with your coaching style or, different techniques that you've developed or what you have seen? As far as I know, I noticed a difference a little bit. So I want to know if you've noticed a difference with, how you're coaching or how you're taking on coaching, and then where you see yourself expanding 2 years from now.
I don't know if I've changed so much. I guess, I just have a system now where, everyone does their check-ins weekly or bi-weekly, depending on how far out we are from contests. I might say, people might think I'm a little quick with my responses because I don't put complete sentences sometimes, or, because sometimes I get messages back, are you mad at me? I'm like, absolutely not. What's wrong? They're like,
just efficient.
You just seem really quick with me.
You just said okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll say like, okay, great, you know, or keep it up, or no changes needed, you know, simple as that, you know. And sometimes I have to like explain to people, no, that just means everything's going great.
Right.
And I don't need to put a whole bunch of response in there. Mm-hmm. And part of that is something I could probably improve on with knowing people's personalities of like, maybe they need a little bit more. Because a lot of people are great with like, okay, I'm doing well, simple response, let's just keep going, you know. But then, you know, some people do need a little bit more tender care and everything like that. So I would definitely say that's something that I will be willing to try to work on over the next couple of years. And I think also another thing I'm into right now is, you know, having to say no to people. And just because I'm finding my time with balancing personal training with all the emails I get throughout the day, it's really starting to kind of, you know, can be some, there's some time constraints there. So I'd rather really put my hat on doing a great job with, you know, right, a few people versus just churning out numbers, mm-hmm, you know. I will also say, like, the general trend of people right now.
That's something I wanted to know, too.
Yeah. Yeah, like, to put a thermometer in it, I got to say I'm not really impressed right now because a lot of people are coming and saying, okay, I want to do the show. And they've seen a lot of Instagram stuff. They've seen a lot of Facebook stuff. And they've seen the glam, how pretty every girl looks in their suits on stage day, you know, how good everyone looks with a tan on, all that kind of stuff. But no one's posting pictures of them doing the struggles or really having like those times where they're like, oh, like two hours of cardio today. Like, it's kind of like all glamour is what's portrayed and then not, you know, the real deal. So then when it comes down to it and you're like, yep, so I need you to do, you know, 45 minutes cardio in the morning and then I want another 20 minutes cardio after workout. Like, wait, that's like an hour and 5 minutes. It's like, yeah, but it's probably what it's going to take to get you into good shape, you know? Right. 'Cause everyone hears the stories of like, I'll use Nate as an example. You know, I think I do a good job with Nate, but I think there's a lot of people that could do a good job with Nate because he's a genetic freak. And his, you know, metabolism allows him to eat a lot of food. So, you know, someone looks at his diet sheet, they'll say, oh my God, he's still on 500 grams of carbs and he's 2 weeks out. And he's on 100 grams of fats. And he still has two cheat meals a week. And they'll say, well, how much cardio is he doing? He must be doing hours. It's like, well, we do about 3 sessions for 20 minutes a week. I tell him, like, literally, like, we started out with one. I was like, all right, I want you to take your dog for a 15-minute walk in the morning. And then a few weeks later, it was like, okay, I want you to walk uphill for a lot of it and take your dog for a walk in the morning, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, those are the little changes that we make with, you know, a genetic freak like someone like him. I forgot where I was going with that. In comparison, you know, for the majority of us, it's not like that. I mean, you right. girls know you have to do your cardio. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes food gets fairly low. Is it the healthiest of things? No, but it's what it takes to get you into the condition you need to be in to present yourself the way you want to present, you know? Right. So, yeah, you know, I just think people have these expectations. I've had a couple people recently that I was really close to getting rid of because you can just tell, like, their response is like, oh, you know, I substituted my chicken and rice meal, which might have been 3.5 ounces of chicken and, you know, 3/4 a cup of rice and, you know, a handful of veggies. I substituted it for a Thai meal, which I know probably fills that meal pretty well. I went to a Thai restaurant and I'm like, nope, that's not acceptable. You didn't prepare that food. And they're like, well, why not? Like, it's chicken and rice. It's like, yeah, but there's sauce on that. If that's a Thai place, they cook it in a wok with a lot of oil, so there's extra fats. Or just things like, oh, I was so tired I didn't get up to do my cardio today or yesterday. Or I've just been really tired lately. It's like, well, or even bigger, you know, people are like, I hear stories of it. A couple of clients are like downtown at the bar still on like Fridays and Saturday nights.
But it was my birthday.
Or yeah, it was my birthday. It's my girlfriend's birthday, which that's great. But, you know, you took on this prep. You took on this challenge. And, you know, to be successful at it, for most of us, we got to do every little thing it takes. And one of those things is getting a good night's sleep. And honestly, if you can go out until 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 in the morning, you're right. probably not doing everything you need to do. You're probably not working hard enough. You're probably not getting up at 5 o'clock to do your cardio. All those little things that are going to make you successful. So that's just kind of the general trend I've seen lately. There's still a lot of great people, don't get me wrong, that are like, you know, I want to do everything right. Like, I'll give an example because she's going to be in posing class here in a minute. Tiara Myers, she's 19 years old. This girl, I take videos of her doing her HIIT cardio because I've never seen someone do it harder. Mm-hmm. And I send them to other people because this girl sells out everything she has for that. You know, I have people typically do 10 seconds on, 50 seconds off. She busts ass. She sends me messages every other day asking me, hey, you know, how do you think I'm looking? You know, she's generally concerned with how she's doing, but not in an annoying way that she needs so much attention just to stroke her ego. Mm-hmm. And she just follows the plan to a T. And the other thing, she came up to me the other day and she's like, just want to let you know, like, everyone's trying to give me advice. Like, oh, I'm getting too skinny. I'm getting too lean. I just want to let you know that I'm not listening to any of that. And I'm just following your advice. Okay. And that's not to say that, like, my plan's the only plan that would work for her, or, you know, I'm the only person that could coach her. It's just saying, like, she understands too many cooks in the kitchen makes for a pretty bad dish. Mm-hmm. So I really got to give people like her props. And for such a young girl, she's got a really good head on her shoulders.
Oh, she's been doing this for how many weeks?
This is her 13th week, I think, or 14th week. And I don't think she's missed a posing class that, other than for like maybe a work commitment, that I know that for a fact that she tried to get other people to cover for her. She showed me text messages. She's like, she like apologizes to me, you know?
Yeah.
The girl puts in time. I see her at the gym. I see her doing her practicing her posing at the gym. So people like that make me really excited, you know? Like, she's doing everything she can to be successful. And she's so young, so she's got such a bright future.
Yeah.
The thing that I can't stand is it's the backlash against the backlash. So everyone was hating on bodybuilding, and it's like why I gained weight, or why I loved gaining weight, or whatever it was. I understand it's okay. You should be okay with gaining weight, but it's not like a thing that it's not either. It shouldn't be something that really hurts you so much mentally, or something you should celebrate so much if you're not in a very bad, let's say, like anorexic or bulimic or any of the eating disorders. So, and then there's those people who take like the if it fits your macros to extreme, and like, I know how you feel about if it fits your macros, gets a little bit meh, that's not exactly what I, if you want to eat fucking whipped cream on everything, don't do fucking show.
Yeah, if you want to do whipped cream sprinkles on stuff, then, you know, don't expect to be placed in the top five or get trophies and stuff, you know, generally, most people.
Right.
To touch on your point about, you know, some of the tendencies to gain weight or whatnot after show and to be okay with it or not be okay with it, you know, I got to say, there's a pretty stark difference between men and women there. And I do try to spend extra time with women and girls, really spend as much time, like if we did a 15-week prep, I'm probably going to be, usually for free, giving you another 15 weeks after that to try to, like, make sure we get you back to a healthy place, you know, is twice as hard because now I'm going to be half naked on stage. Oh my God, I better do everything that I need to do to look that way. After the show, I try to make people understand, like, your metabolism's definitely lower. We need to add your calories in, drop your calories out sequentially. But they don't have that healthy fear of like, oh, I'm going to be naked, you know, half naked on stage. I'm not parading myself around to be judged by others. In an instant or in a moment, a weak moment, they can totally let the guard down and have half that birthday cake that's sitting there or whatever. And it's not to say you can't have your treats here and there, but they might overdo it.
Right.
Stark difference of that is a guy, you know. A guy can gain 35 pounds the week after show. He laughs with his buddy, said, yeah, I got fat, but I'm going to diet it off now. And he doesn't have the mental issues and the, you know, the anguish that goes with that. You know, he just kind of jokes about it. And maybe just because, you know, men and women are held to different standards when it comes to physique-wise. You know, everyone notices when a girl puts on 10 pounds after a show and says, oh, shit, I don't know if she's doing okay. A guy puts on 10 pounds, oh, wow, he's put on muscle. He's bulking up. He's looking good. You know, he's filling back out again. So whether, you know, fair or unfair, there are some differences with men and women when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Then there's the other, like, little venue of people who want to do shows, and they see people who are doing the if it fits your macros, but these are people who are also mature in this field, meaning they have an idea of what works for them, and, you know, every one of their meals is if it fits your macro fancy meal. It's, you know, most of them are chicken, like you were saying, and rice that they made themselves. And then the people who are into the fitness world and they're eating Larry's cookies, and now they realize Larry's cookies are now going to be, you know, they're getting sued because they actually don't have the protein in it that they say they're going to. So,
yeah. For a lot of people, like, you know, that are more experienced, like, I'll give them that leeway. Like, if you don't want to eat 4 ounces of turkey, you'd rather have 4 ounces of chicken, go for it,
right,
you know.
Right.
If you want to do equal amount of egg whites, you know, protein-wise, right, go for it. I don't want people to be eating protein bars, you know, the Quest bars, the Fit Crunch bars, I think they're called. Mm-hmm. I think of those as, like, fake foods. There's a lot of hidden junk in those. The protein is not always complete proteins. A lot of times it's collagen or gelatin. And oftentimes, if you're not getting results and you are doing 2 bars a day, or you are doing, you know, these Kodiak pancake things or whatever, that might be something to look at and to get with, you know, get real nutritious foods with real nutrients in them. I think that'll make a big difference for you.
Right.
I do if it fits your macros for some of my girls. And I guess I can take a different stance on it. But what I have them do is I give them kind of a rule to stick by of, like, I want them to choose one ingredient foods and as close to nature as possible. And then I had them kind of give me a list of like their grocery list. And then I say, you can absolutely do it if it fits your macros. Another reason why I have done it in the past is if I notice that they want to do, like if they're coming off of a strict prep and they want to kind of find balance in their life again, so to say, or whatever that balance is, and they don't feel that they can just go off of a meal plan anymore because it was too strict, then I try to say, let's try if it fits your macros. So then you have a little bit of leeway and you can start to introduce different foods in there and have a little bit more flexibility. And I feel like maybe I cater to everybody's psychological and emotional needs way too much, but that's what I tend to do.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Giving them guidelines,
right,
giving them rules, and then saying, okay, yeah, let me see the foods, your shopping list, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And that's more or less, you know, off-season, with a lot of the guys I work with especially, that's what, you know, I like to do.
Because then they have, I think sometimes then you have a better idea of, like, you can trust yourself a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like, you can start to be like, oh, I know what 4 ounces of chicken looks like. And when I go to a restaurant, I know what like 5 ounces of a sweet potato is going to look like. Or like you can kind of trust yourself a little bit more when you're introducing a lot more foods into the mix with like if it fits your macros. And then it doesn't necessarily, it could just be a lifestyle then moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I think what you said about one ingredient foods is big, you know.
Yeah.
If you're saying that, then okay, then you're talking about sweet potatoes,
rices,
oatmeals, or, you know, chicken, fish, steak, and, you know, the same clean foods we would eat dieting. But now if you just don't feel like eating steak, but you'd rather do a couple whole eggs, you know, mixed into something instead, you know, you can pick and choose your spots. You're roughly getting the same macros and you're widening out your nutrient base, which is great. The more time, as often as you can, fitting in a wider range of nutrients is going to help your health out big time.
When do you say no? When do you say no to competitors? Not when they're... Not in the sense of they're not going to try a lot, but when do you start to feel like this isn't emotionally good for you?
There's been two people this year. We were like deep in prep, and things just weren't working out right. And this gets back to not having a great preseason or whatever you want to call it, offseason. I took a girl on, and she, you know, we tried dieting, and, you know, some calories were dropping, her cardio was going up, her body really just wasn't responding. And she was really having just a flat, kind of bloated out look. And that was just telling me, like, your body's not ready for this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 7 or 8 weeks into it, I shut her down. And I got to give her a lot of credit. She was really good about it and took the advice. And I actually redid her plan again today. So here we are, I think, maybe 12 weeks past where when she was supposed to compete, maybe 13 or something. And her calories are higher than where they were when she was the exact same weight when we were trying to diet her down. And she was doing, I think, 45 minutes of cardio then. Right now, I think I have her doing 3 12-minute sessions a week. So, you know, just to show you, like, she's in a much better place now so that this fall when we start her diet, I'm hoping we can get her calories up over 2,000 and start her diet from there. I think when we started, she was at, like, 1,400 or something like that. And right now, she's at, like, 1,800. That would be an instance where I'd shut someone down. Another guy recently in Australia, he's an Australian client. This was more for, I could tell right away that his anabolics that he was using were fake. Just the tertile signs of, you know, the changes you should be seeing with the changes that you're making with his plan just weren't happening for him. And, you know, I told him, you know, it's like you're bringing a knife to a gunfight here, buddy. You know, this, because he was going to do the Arnold Australia Amateur, which is a big show. And my view was this, he just wasn't making the progress he needed to make to compete at that stage. And again, he took it really well. He thought it was good advice, and we shut things down, and we're looking for different products for him so that we can look into another show later on in the fall this year. So, and again, now we're reverse dieting him after the process, and he's making great progress as well. So,
how do you know? How do you deal with that stuff? Like, because
anabolic side?
Yeah, like, or any of the banned substance in one of the leagues.
Yeah, so obviously we're talking like NPC side of things or IFBB side of things or, you know, the NABA or just anything other than like the natural organizations that are, they'll tell you that they are.
Yeah.
So like knowing just the changes between using like a compound that's like a volumizer like EQ or DECA versus what you should be seeing with like your DHT drugs or your, you know, like your Trenbolones, your Winstrols, your Masterons, things that typically just call your hardeners. Nowadays, kids will use this kind of, what we call your hardeners, your finishing touches drugs. They'll use those year round, which is not great for your health, but they like to have that look like they're always lean and they always have this, really grainy appearance. But typically those of us that are old school really just use that kind of stuff 4 to 6 weeks towards the end, try to put as little of a risk on the health as possible. And, the diet should be doing most of the work for you. But in this case, I think 2 weeks into switching over to what should be his DHT drugs, he really wasn't making the grainy changes that I would expect to see. And I had a thought that his test was even, or all of his products were fake, just because I just wasn't seeing what I thought I should be seeing. I guess it's kind of one of those things where you got to look at someone for a while and then get an idea knowing what these compounds should be doing for you. Just, you're not seeing that,
That's so hard. So I posted the other day just about, so same but different because it goes on hormones, so everyone thinks, and I guess it's kind of along everything we're saying today, that the great thing is science is science. So A plus B equals C. But the thing that sucks about the human body, or is awesome about the human body, is we never know what A is. Everyone's A is a different starting value. So based off of our hormones, our levels of hormones, what we think our levels of hormones are, what exterior, anything that's going on, so stress of that, whether it's good or bad stress, can change everything. And it's so amazing to see and have to try to figure out what that A value is and where people are.
Sure. I mean,
it's just an amazing thing. And then just to be able to, I'm touching my head because it's all stuff that I'm just like, this is amazingly frustrating and also amazingly just wow. Like, we know there's 9 planets. Well, we might have 8 planets. We might have 9 planets. Who knows? But we don't know what's going on inside the human body, really, without blood test, which you're a big fan of. I know.
Actually, I was just going to touch on that. Maybe, the other reason, and I would have had him do this, but in Australia, it's near illegal to go get your own blood work done.
What?
Yeah, they have really weird laws in some of these countries that are more socialist and whatnot. So I was, I asked him to go get some blood work done, and he was like, dude, this is going to take forever to get blood work done. You got to go see your primary doctor, and then he's got to sign off on it, and then he's going to ask you why you want it, and if you don't say the right thing, he's going to investigate you, and it's like a big interrogation. So he's like, I'm not doing that. But over here, especially, in the Northeast, like Vermont, for instance, I can go to a clinic and get my blood work done whenever I want. I try to get mine done every 8 weeks just to make sure that my health is optimal for, carrying around heavier body weight and some of the demands that we put on our bodies with the sport and everything. And it's something like, you ask, how do you know that something's working or not? Or how do you know that, some of the products are doing what they're supposed to do? That's a quick and easy, test. For $50, $60, you can go get your testosterone and estrogen checked at one of these clinics to know if it's working. Mm-hmm. You can go get a serum GH test and an IGF-1 serum test for, $60 a piece, Mm-hmm. So you'll know very quickly if the products you're using are doing what they're, if they're at least, doing what they're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. Or they're giving you what they should be giving you. I have a lot of natural people go get their blood work done regularly too, mm-hmm. Especially girls. A lot of times we're doing a full thyroid panel. I've seen a lot of things with people. Also, another thing is the adrenal tests, getting the adrenal tests, cortisol tests. Those are big ones, especially for females, I find. I think maybe just the demands we put on the female body, trying to do everything we're trying to do, it affects them a little bit more than it affects men. Blood work, get it done.
So here's a question, for you too. So from our point of view, Danica's and I's right now with breastfeeding, do you think you could help figure out more efficiently? Because I've been just doing my own experiments in my own body, meaning how do I feel? How much milk supply do I have? And trying to balance that, keeping my weight at a healthy range for me, not going too high, but not going too low. And also keeping my milk supply higher and not letting it dip low as I start to work out a little bit more and, just being more active. Do you think that blood tests would help us figure out a little bit more where our macro should be?
Not necessarily in this case, because it sounds like you have a pretty good control set up here where, I'm increasing my food a little bit. I'm increasing my exercise a little bit. I'm doing a little more cardio. My meal production is good. I'm not overdoing it. Mm-hmm. I would say if you, after 2 weeks of doing something, you're not producing milk or it's just not happening at the same rate, you might be overdoing it, or you might not be taking in the right amount of calories. So, yeah. You know, I think what you're doing with what you just said, as you outlined it, makes the most sense. You know, if there was a problem and you were like, look, I'm adequately eating, I'm not overworking myself, I barely feel like I'm exercising, and you're having a problem, then I think definitely, like, it would warrant blood work, but you look healthy as can be.
Yeah. You know? Oh, there you go. Thank you. I'm a gem of healthiness. If I get a little closer, you can see the eye roll. The darkness under my eyes. It's a good light. I'm using that fake selfie light from the sun.
You ever sit in front of those, it's called a sun box?
Yeah, a light therapy box.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's, Mike was laughing at me yesterday. Remember, my husband's allergic to the sun, so if I could keep the whole house like dark all the time, he'd love it. But it's...
Doesn't he work at night?
Yeah, he's a vampire. Yes, he's a vampire. I have every window, like, shade open in the house, and he's like, it's 10 degrees out. I'm like, I need sunshine. I'm like, you go back to bed there a little, like...
Yeah, I guess if you don't want him around, you can just...
Right.
All the blinds.
No big deal. Dana, any other questions that you had for the big guy?
Yes, from now.
Oh, yeah.
So where do you see your coaching progress? Or what would you hope to see?
I hope in 2 years from now, I won't be personal training anymore. I will just be working with people online and in person as well, but just not in a instructional, you know, weight training wise. You know, I think with how things are growing, I think that's probably where I'll be. Yeah.
See, I love the in-person personal training part. I feel like it gives me energy to be more efficient because I like to help people move more efficiently, I think it is. I think that's where I started from, so I kind of stick there a lot, where I love the movement patterns and making sure their movement patterns are right. I won't have it a lot. Like right now, I only have it for 10 hours a week, and I kind of miss that aspect of it. But
I will say, like, I think I always would like to train people.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, I don't want to work necessarily for someone else.
Right, exactly.
I want to be in control of, you know, my earning capability.
Yes.
And not see 40% or 50% of, you know, my hourly, what someone's paying us, mm-hmm. go to somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know. I'd rather be able to set my stand, you know, basically be a contractor and work in maybe one or two different places when I wanted to work there, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Would you ever want your own little gym?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yes and no, actually, because gyms don't really make money. Not that, like, I'm all about, oh, you got to make money, but because I do like the idea of a gym and having your own place and being able to, you know, put the right pieces in there, that kind of thing. But, you know, maybe, like, it would, you know, it'd have to be financially, it'd have to make sense and be a good investment. And, you know, the numbers would have to work out, you know, because a lot of gyms, people think, oh, you own a gym, like, it's your own place, you know, it's awesome. Most of them barely turn a profit, you know, the standalone gyms. Health clubs might make a little bit more because they have other services and whatnot, but, you know, small standalone gyms, that's why you see them dying, you know. Back in the day, in the 80s and 90s, there used to be tons of these little gyms all over the place where half the times the owner made a lot of the equipment there. You know, he was a welder and learned how to make a lot of this stuff, and there's some really cool pieces you can find out there that don't have, like, you know, Bodymaster or Cybex written on them, just plain old pieces of metal that have been welded together. Those days are kind of done. Yeah, you know, it'd have to work out financially.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never wanted to own a gym either. People ask me all the time. They're like, do you want to open your own gym? I'm like, nope, too much overhead.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with it.
Managing people, and then, you know, well, a lot of times what happens with gyms when they open, they close. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can think of, I mean, the gym we're in right now has turned over several mm-hmm. times in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some close friends that own gyms, and they'll tell me, like, look, we're operating at a net loss. Mm-hmm. 8 months into it, they're operating at a net loss, mm-hmm. you know, whereas on the outside, everything looks great. You know, looks like there's tons of members, but the amount of money that you sink into it to start a gym up,
yeah.
you know, because you want to see it succeed and do well, and someone asks for something, you want to give it to them. You just see that you do the math, and it's like, wow, I'm bleeding myself out here. So. Yeah.
So along the lines of what Danica asked about your coaching, where do you see this industry in 2 years?
I think it's going to continue to grow a little bit more, for probably like another 2 or 3 years. And then I think a lot of the people that get into it to just do it one time because it looks glamorous and it looks really fun, and they realize, wow, that shit was really hard. They say, oh, I'm going to do another one, but they probably end up never doing another one. Mm-hmm. Maybe they go start a Spartan race, or they go start some other, whatever, you know, athletic endeavor, which is fine, you know, because this sport is not for everybody. You know, it's not for everybody. It's plain and simple. And then I think you're going to see it kind of crawl back to where it was like in the 90s and maybe early 2000s, where a little bit more of a fringy sport, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's continuing to expand right now. I don't know if you saw the Arnold yesterday and like how big it got there. And the Expo, I don't know if you saw a live feed into the Expo, but the Expo is packed with people. You went a couple years ago. I went last year. I will never go back to that Expo. Like,
I don't think I will either.
I was claustrophobic there. Like, it took me 20 minutes to go 20 feet.
Oh,
I'm not even exaggerating. There was that many people in this room.
That's something I actually want to talk to you about too. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, I think it's going to continue to expand for a little while, and then, like, most industries, it'll start to recede a little bit.
The hashtag, like, Arnold 2017, and you watch the people who go work out at the gyms around the area, I shit you not. I was just like, I would die. I would not be, first off, I feel like half the people there that were there to just be seen or to see other people. I mean, you saw people just, like, standing in between a machine, like, with, like a 5-pound plate, bicep curling, 5-pound plates, looking around, like, because there's so many people. And everyone had their, like, video cameras. Hey!
You probably saw, we're both friends with Adam McVay.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Probably saw his post, you know, yesterday, like, wow, like, this is what our sport has turned into. A bunch of internet and YouTube, you know, sensations are more popular, and they have lines out the, you know, down the street for their booths, and then the real bodybuilders, the real athletes, you know, the real bikini girls, the real figure girls, you know, no one really knows who they are, especially if they competed, you know, 10 years ago and they have a booth set up. So that is kind of, actually, this is something I'll touch on. I see this kid, actually not one kid, I see three or four of these kids. They bring a tripod to the gym regularly, okay? This kid does maybe what you would call 3 warm-up sets of like 6 different exercises, totally unrelated to each other. So full body split, whatever. If you're doing that, that's fine. Full body split. But each one of them, you know, he takes a shirt off and he starts like, you know, like curling the bar. And like, then he like drops it and like looks at the camera so stoically and then says like some like catchy phrase or like, it's like, that's the kind of shit that really pisses me off. I've seen this at the gym like 4 times in the last month where these kids are like 25 to like 28, which you should be an adult male by now at that age, but I guess not. You know, bringing these cameras, you know, it's one thing if okay, you know, you're gonna squat 500 pounds, it's your first time hitting it, and your buddies are pumping you up, and
right.
And you want to film that, you know, because you want to remember how you hit it and see how low you went, everything. That's one thing. But these guys are trying to make these videos because they have a YouTube channel,
right? Exactly.
And I see on their Instagram, they call themselves public figures.
Oh,
whatever,
God.
Whatever the hell that means. I don't even know what that means. But
well, you have to select
figure,
something.
Like,
just so you know, you have to select something. That's why if you want it to be like before, you could have like a business. The contact, you had to select something because I'm a public figure clearly, but that you had to select what it was.
I want to be a public figure.
You can click that makes you a public figure.
Yeah, like you had to click like what you were. So like you could be like an athlete, a politician, a public
like,
figure.
Like astronaut.
Yeah. Well, no, they had categories. They actually had categories. That's what the categories came from.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, sorry.
I can tell they bought hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way this little dipshit from Burlington, Vermont, with 13.5-inch arms, has 100,000 followers and is putting out products, and people are watching his YouTube videos to watch him do 7 pull-ups. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's nothing unimpressive about his physique, nothing unimpressive about his workouts. And, that's the kind of shit. I think those are the kind of people that will be gone in a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then the people that go to the gym, they work out, they train their bodies. They're not there just to make a Facebook post, you know, that they showed up that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's those are the people that are still going to be here. And that's great, you know.
That goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's like it's cool to hate on bodybuilding once you do one show because you get messed you up. And I know, Danica, you said this in the past that it's not the show that messed you up. You were already messed up before the show and you're already looking for something else. And now you're blaming bodybuilding, which is one of the things I can't stand. So,
that's a good point.
Remo touched on that too. You know, Remo touched on like the authenticity of the sport and
that's a good word.
How it's really no longer like how back in the day you saw people who actually valued the sport as a sport, where now it's more like
how am I gonna get noticed?
A side hobby thing that you do and then you move on, or how can I gain followers, or how many like little Instagram pictures can I put up about my journey and then be done with it in a little bit, but not really like value what it takes to be involved in the sport as like an athlete. Remo really touched on that a lot and was passionate about that.
I agree. I think, I mean, I was one of those people that started it just to see what it was like. I didn't know I would actually be my life or a large part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree. I was the same exact way. I just wanted to see what it was like. And I did admire the sport. I think I admired it from like watching Matt, mm-hmm. like in the whole bodybuilding thing. And then he made me read Arnold Schwarzenegger's encyclopedia. So I was like, oh, this is like a real thing. Okay. Yeah. And then I decided that I liked it and kept going.
I don't know. Why do you think we find something, we stick with it? I mean, Andrew, did you play sports?
Yeah, I played football, basketball, and I threw a shot put, and then did a couple years of college football. But, like, I knew, like, I was going to be involved in this, like, when I was, like, 12. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a kid that, like, lied and said I was 14 and I could go use the weights. Like, when I was, like, 11 years old, and the trainer knew I was lying, but he's like, now this kid's, he's showing a lot of interest, and he's, you know, doing the right things, and he's being seen and not heard, mm-hmm. you know, like, the opposite of kids today.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he really... you know, he helped me out a little bit. And then a lot of the other bigger guys helped me out. And I always knew, like, when I was a younger guy, like, oh, I'm going to do something with this someday, you know. But that something was not like, oh, I'm going to, like, be on the cover of a fitness magazine, or I'm going to be making a YouTube video or whatever. It was like, you know, I'm either going to help people learn about how to lift weights better or with their diets and that kind of thing. And mostly it's just so that I can be at a gym half the day so I could train when I wanted to. Yeah, you know, definitely started out with sports, but then I found the side effect of, you know, lifting weights was more of what I was after. So.
What's on the agenda for you yourself?
For
lifting heavy weights, maybe stepping on stage in a little tiny bikini.
Oh, well, I'm trying to get healthy right now. I've had some issues with my left hip and my lower back, which I'm working on with my chiropractor, Travis Hart of VT Chiro Sports. He's a great guy. If you ever come up here, you should have him work on you. He does a lot of different therapies, grasping work, all sorts of stuff. He's been helping me with like different stretches and stuff. I mean, I went from, you know, squatting in the high 500s to right now, the other day I could barely get 315 for some really crap.
All right, we're back. So Andrew, last thing I heard you say was you got 315 for crappy.
Yeah, it's like things just aren't feeling great, but they're getting better. We're working on it, you know, mobility and that kind of stuff. But regardless, my plan is to do the Atlantic States in 13 weeks down in New Jersey, Teaneck, New Jersey, and then from there probably do Junior Nationals again. And then after that, we'll see what happens. There's plenty of shows after that. Actually, I've definitely been like inspired by one of our mutual friends, Matt Kuba, who I think you probably saw last year at the USA's. It's not very often that a super heavyweight has the best condition in a show, mm-hmm. and he by far had the best condition, like bar none. He got third place at the USA's, which really makes me hopeful because we have, you know, we were kind of on the same plane a couple years ago, and I can get to that same level this season and the next season. He's definitely put in a lot of work, and I hope, you know, I'm able to put in the same amount of work. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, I don't have any doubt in you, of course, but we're some of your biggest fans.
That's nice.
So I know you guys have the posing class that you guys have to get to. Anything else you guys want to share before we kind of wrap it up for the day?
No, just anyone that's looking for a good quality belt or knee wraps or knee sleeves, check out my friend Dylan Burns at dbgear.net. The kid's a genius. He's a college professor, and on the side, he's making these belts and these knee sleeves, and he puts a lot of engineering into it, and he's got some patented products and whatnot. So anyone that's looking for a good quality belt that'll be there for you, check out dbgear.net.
I was always wondering what DB stand for. Now I know.
Dylan Burns. Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. Him and his wife, they're CrossFit athletes. Very, very strong. I think his wife has like a 300-something pound squat right now.
Wow.
Yeah, she's strong. So, you know, their products work.
We like to end it usually on a good note. So do you want to go first, Andrew, about something that you're thankful for or...
You guys go first.
You go first.
I want to see what caliber how thankful we're talking about today. Okay. I'll get back.
This will be little. This will be, it is our first time for Mike and I to have a quote-unquote date day. We are going to see Logan. And we're leaving the Munchkin with my mom.
That's cool.
Oh, good.
Should be a good movie.
Yeah. And the other cool thing, I know it's two, but I meal prepped for her last night, and she did... sweet potato and liked it.
Nice. That's awesome.
Good girl.
See, it doesn't have to be that fancy.
Yeah.
Not that fancy. I will go. I am thankful for I'm thankful for my husband because he definitely stepped it up a notch the past couple of days with he wasn't feeling good, but then when I wasn't feeling good, he took really good care of me and took good care of the little bean. So I was very thankful for all the little things that he didn't have to do, but he did.
Aw, that's awesome. Good job, Matt.
Way to go. Way to be a dad.
I'm thankful for all the positive people in my life, you know, friends, clients, partners like Rachel, you know, you guys, everyone, you know, that helped make this sport better and more fun. And, yeah, thankful for that.
Belle's clearly thankful, too. I don't know if you heard her there. Can I just also say Rachel makes me laugh so hard with her Instagrams.
Yeah, like, you know, she's someone that does not take herself seriously.
No.
And actually, what's funny is, like, some girls really get offended by her posts, and they will, like, they'll make, like, counter posts to her or to us, like, not putting her name down or my name, but, like, calling us out, basically. And it's actually kind of funny because it's like, whoa, just get over yourself. Like, take a step back and look at some of the ridiculousness of the sport, you know, and,
yeah.
And like you said, just be thankful for, like, all the positive things right. that, you know, get out of it.
You know, the reason and this is me as a little person who was always easily, like, uprooted when I was younger. The reason why you get all uppity is because it hits home in you somewhere and you feel embarrassed or whatever. So maybe, mm-hmm. like you just said, check yourself and realize, like, it's a silly thing that she's making silly, but, you know, maybe inside you are being a little bit of X, Y, and Z. You should check on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very vain sport to begin with, or a vain lifestyle to begin with. And I think, you know, as much as you can devalue that kind of stuff and more focus on, like, relationships and just bringing a positive attitude and working hard and just all those good things, mm-hmm. you know, I think it just keeps you more well-grounded.
Excellent. Well, you guys have a great posing class. Anything else you have, Danica, you want to add?
No, good luck to all the competitors that will be going to Brattleboro and starting up their season.
Yeah. All right. Well, from all of us at Champion Chat 360, and Andrew will be linking all of his stuff too. You are a serious competitor. You reach out to him. If you're not, just keep moving.
There you go.
Well, we'll talk to you guys all soon. Have a great day. Bye.